you'll be grumpy and you'll be tired. You'll come up with excuses like, this isn't healthy for me, or I just wasn't born with early rising genes, Jet said as he laughed. But remember, nothing's wrong. It's just a necessary part of the process of growing and rewiring a new habit. After 40 days, getting up at 5 a.m. to do your interior work so that you become a more powerful person will be second nature. 5 a.m.? I asked in disbelief. Reminds me a bit of basic training. It is basic training, Blake. Basic training to get you to your leadership best, came his succinct reply. I glanced at the card as Jet turned up the lights in the massage treatment room. The 7 fundamentals of personal leadership. 1. Learning. Read from books that will inspire you, strengthen your character, and remind you of the examples of the greatest leaders of our world. Also, listen to audiobooks on subjects ranging from business excellence, team building, and innovation to wellness, relationships, and personal motivation. 2. Affirmations. One of the single best ways to re-script limiting beliefs and failure programs within your mind is through the consistent repetition of positive statements about the leader you want to become and the achievements you commit to create. For example, reciting the affirmation, "Today I am focused, excellent, and stunningly passionate in all I do," a number of times at the beginning of your day will create the mindset of a champion and a winning emotional state for you. 3. Visualization. The mind works through pictures. Every great accomplishment, from the tallest skyscraper here in New York City to the most stunning inventions of American geniuses like Thomas Edison and Benjamin Franklin, began with a series of pictures set in the imagination of their creators. All outer achievements begin within the mind. All progress is nothing more than invisible creativity made visible. So during your personal leadership hour, make time to close your eyes and, like any good elite athlete does, envision yourself realizing your goals, playing at your best, and fully awakening your inner leader. 4. Journaling. Writing in a journal is a remarkably strong way to become a clearer thinker, to build massive amounts of self-awareness, and to record your intended outcomes. During your hour of personal development, note your insights, feelings, hopes, and dreams. Also, process through any frustrations you might be experiencing and go deep into your fears. The fears you embrace are the fears you'll release. Really get to know yourself and reconnect with all the talent within you that's just waiting to be unleashed. Your journal is also a place to express gratitude for all you have and to memorialize your journey through life. Your life is a gift, and so it's worth recording. 5. Goal setting. Setting and then reconnecting with your goals on a regular basis is a powerful success discipline. Your goals will create a fantastic amount of focus in your career and within your life. Goals generate hope and positive energy, and when you experience adversity, and we all do from time to time, clearly articulated goals offer you a North Star to guide you out of the rough seas into calmer waters. Goals also ensure that you live life deliberately and productively versus reactively and accidentally. Avoid that walking coma I spoke of earlier. 6. Exercise. I'll speak more about the importance of moving your body daily to achieve peak performance at work, but for now, just remember that doing something physical each day boosts brain function, fuels far higher energy levels, helps you manage stress more effectively, and keeps you in the game longer. 7. Nutrition. What you eat determines how well you'll perform. Leadership is influenced by your diet. By eating like a winner, your energy will remain at peak and your moods will stay positive. Please also remember that by eating less food, you'll be able to do better work. Really superb suggestions, Jet, I said with tremendous appreciation as the three of us walked back into the stylish waiting room. The massage had left me feeling incredibly good, and Jet's 7 fundamentals for personal leadership were ever so practical. I now had a series of disciplines I could choose from and practice during my personal leadership hour to perform at world class throughout my day. I also made the commitment to myself to rise at 5 a.m. every morning. I sensed that this habit alone would create wonderful results in terms of my self-confidence, my ability to be in control of my day, and my overall level of well-being. I shared my willingness to get up early each day with Jet. He was delighted. Give yourself one of the best gifts a leader without title can give himself, the blessing of getting up at 5 a.m. every morning. So many of the most productive leaders of our world have had this routine, Blake. The way you start your day determines how well you will live your day. And what you do in your first hour sets you up to either succeed or fail in the hours that follow. Carve out the first hour of your day to spend building your personal leadership capabilities. Hey, by the way, it's also key to consider that your first thought on waking up and your last thought before going to sleep have a big influence on what goes on between them, Jet noted. Truly fascinating, I replied. All of this is so helpful. And your earlier suggestion to clean up my emotional life also really speaks to me. I've been pretty angry and unhappy for a long time. What specifically could nourish my emotional life? One of the first things you can do, Blake, is learn to forgive those who need to be forgiven. Many people bring such negative energy into their workplaces every morning because they are full of resentment and anger over past hurts and ancient betrayals. Self-leadership requires you to let go of these resentments. Learn to forgive the people you need to forgive and release things that happened in the past that might be consuming your precious creative potential. You can't craft a superb future by remaining stuck in your past. Because the disappointments you were holding on to are holding on to your power. By freeing yourself of them, you free up a ton of energy, passion, and potential, said Jet as he sipped from a bottle of water with a lemon in it. And how do I go about releasing my past so I can free up my leadership best? I questioned. It starts with a simple decision, Blake. It's so exciting to me that all that stands between you and total transformation is a decision. Just decide, at this very moment, that you'll forgive all those who have disappointed you and let go of all the experiences that have discouraged you. The moment you step into a space of honestly being willing to forgive is the moment you begin the clearing process. Also, remember that those people who hurt you were doing the best that they could do based on where they were on their personal journey through life. If they had known how to do better, they would have done better. And finally, please understand that only hurt people hurt people.
Only hurt people hurt people?
Sure. Really healthy people, those with outstanding inner lives, are not really capable of hurting others. They are so full of self-respect, positive belief, inspiration, the willingness to see the best in others, and a deep desire to be great in all they do, that they simply are not able to knock down another human being. The capacity to damage another is no longer a part of their makeup. They just don't have it in them. It's only people who are hurting at some core level and who have themselves been hurt by others who go out into the world and hurt those around them.
Profound, I observed sincerely. I paused.
And you mentioned spending some time in personal leadership hour every day, improving my spiritual life.
How?
Well, I'd strongly encourage you to count your blessings every morning, Blake. Gratitude is the antidote to fear. Worry and appreciation just can't live in the same room together. And the things that you appreciate begin to appreciate in value to you. What I'm saying is that spending even 5 minutes during that first hour of your day celebrating all the good things in your life will put you into an acute state of happiness. And as corny as it may sound, happy people really do make happy leaders. And happy leaders not only do better work, they're a lot more fun to be around.
Very helpful, Jet.
Great. So let me get to the H in shine. It's getting late, and I should get back to work soon. It's been a joy meeting you, Blake, but I don't want to forget about my clients. They really depend on me.
No worries, I replied. I understand completely. The H will remind you that health is wealth. I mentioned the importance of exercising and staying physically strong earlier. Peak health is like a tent pole. It lifts up everything else in your entire life. Get your health to its highest state, and every other area, from your ability to think clearly during stressful times to your performance levels and moods, get pulled up with it. Health is one of those things we take for granted until we lose it. And those who do, sadly, spend 24/7 trying to get it back. If you lose your health, and I pray you never do, nothing else will be as important as trying to reclaim it. Makes me think of the old proverb, when we are young, we sacrifice our health for wealth. But when we become old and wise, we become willing to sacrifice every bit of our wealth for just a day of good health. And if you don't believe me on that point, Blake, when we are done today and you are on your way home, stop by a hospital. Walk into the terminal ward where people lie on their deathbeds and ask any one of them what they would give for an extension on their lives. Ask them what they'd give for just one day of excellent health. I'm sure they'll tell you that they'd give everything they have. If you lose your health, you lose everything. Don't ever let that happen to you. I fell silent. Ever since I returned from the war, I didn't show much concern for my health. I stopped exercising, I ate junk food, I didn't rest enough. It occurred to me, as I stood before this masterful massage therapist, that if I started taking my health more seriously and got back into exceptional physical condition, almost every other part of my life truly would improve. I'd have more energy at work and would feel more positive about things in general. I'd probably be a lot more creative, and I'd definitely feel more passion. I'd have greater stamina and be tougher amid all the changes our organization was going through. In my home life, I wouldn't need to flake out on the couch so much. I could start learning new skills and doing more fun things. I'd feel better about myself and have more adventure. Health is the crown on the well man's head that only the ill man can see, Jet added powerfully. Please don't tell me you have no time to exercise each day. Those who don't make time for daily exercise must eventually make time for daily illness, you know? Jet's advice was simple and yet tremendously important. I took it all to heart. Oh, and please remember that your health will never be better than your self-image. When you really start to believe in your natural leadership power and how awesome you truly are, your behaviors around your health will improve dramatically. But it all begins within, he emphasized. This all makes sense. If I really don't think that much of myself, I'm not going to take great care of myself. Exactly, he replied, looking pleased with my comment. The I in Shine stands for Inspiration Matters, Tommy noted. Yep, said Jet. A day without feeling inspired is a day that you haven't fully lived. You need to refill your well of inspiration every day, because the challenges of life will drain it every day. How can you inspire your teammates at work and energize your customers to buy from you if you are uninspired and de-energized yourself? You also want to do whatever it takes to be the most inspired person in the room. I love the sound of that, Jet. Some practical suggestions for me, please? Listening to music is one of the best ways I know to drive huge levels of inspiration. Associating with interesting people who love being remarkable, ethical, and original will also fuel your passion and provoke you to be your leadership best. Communing with nature is yet another effective way to get your creative fire burning and keep you excited about achieving great things at work. Whenever I get a chance, I head out to the countryside. Walking alone in the woods is like a miracle cure for the stress of this city, and I leave the woods feeling truly alive again. The view of the majority is that things like being out in nature and doing things to renew spent reserves of creativity and energy are a pure waste of time, and that if you're not doing something, you're not really doing anything. But refueling your mind, body, emotions, and spirit actually allows you to grow tougher against the turbulence of business. If all you do is play full out all the time, your reservoirs of potential will become depleted and you'll burn out fast. Star performers understand the need to constantly alternate between peak performance and inner renewal. And once the leader within you is replenished and re-inspired, You'll go back to work even stronger, even more creative, and far more exhilarated. The activities I'm encouraging you to pursue serve to reawaken the inner leader. They rekindle our passion and open any closed doorways into our absolute best.
And the N in shine? I asked.
Neglect not your family. Your loved ones matter. What's the point of becoming super successful, as I sense you'll soon become, but ending up completely alone? A lot of those billionaires I mentioned when you first got here spent a lot of their lives solo in their spectacular mansions. What's the point of that? A huge amount of joy can be found in cultivating beautiful relationships with your family and friends. At the end of the day, Blake, you really don't need that much to be really happy. Work you can be proud of, food on your table every night, wonderful health, and people you love. A solid foundation at home sets you up for strong and solid results at work. Feeling cared for and loved by your family is such a powerful accelerator for your leadership and personal success. Which brings me to the E, Jet noted. The E in my acronym will remind you of the fifth rule for personal leadership. Elevate your lifestyle. Lifestyle isn't something that we speak about very often, but it's so important to a life well led. Do something every day to improve your lifestyle. As I suggested earlier, go through life first class. You only live once, so why not enjoy it completely?
But I thought you said having a lot of things isn't what genuine leadership is about, Jet.
That's definitely not the priority for leaders without a title, Blake. But please remember, it's very human and natural to want to have nice things. Why feel guilty about having them? Become spectacularly great in the work you do, awaken your inner leader, and most certainly express your absolute best. But enjoy life along the way. The real key is to get the things you want while making sure they don't get you. And that brings me to my final point of our conversation.
Jet's face grew serious. He looked down for a moment. Tommy stood up and walked over to join us.
Nice things are nice to have. A beautiful lifestyle is a beautiful thing to experience. But who you are becoming as a human being is a much smarter concern. The main aim in life is simply to become all you're meant to be. Actually, even more important than who we are becoming as people is focusing on the difference we are making as leaders. Contribution is the ultimate purpose of work and life.
I need to hear more on this, Jet, I observed, seeing that Jet was summarizing what leading without a title was essentially about.
Success is not about what you receive, Blake. Success is all about what you return. Like I said, even the longest life is a pretty short journey in the overall scheme of existence and all that is. Tolstoy wrote a wonderful short story called How Much Land Does a Man Need? The moral of the story was that at the end, all the things we spend the best days of our lives chasing really don't matter that much. All that we really need once our lives get to the end doesn't amount to much more than about 6 feet of soil. What truly counts, then, is what we will leave behind. What I'm really encouraging you to think about is your legacy. I'm inviting you to consider how you want to be remembered when you're no longer here. The great and glorious legacy of a human being is to live with purpose, observed the philosopher Montaigne. It will be a deep loss to this world if you refuse to accept the call on your life to lead without a title and present your absolute best to the lives around you. Leaders without a title think about their legacies every single day. They think about how they want to be remembered when they are no longer alive. They think about what achievements they need to get done so that they leave their mark for the generations that will follow. They consider what kind of people they must become so that their lives stand for something excellent, meaningful, and powerful. Get these things right, and a glorious legacy will be yours for the leaving. And then, when you are no longer here, people will walk into your bookstore, see that plaque on the wall next to the section you used to work in that bears your name, and say, "Ah, there once worked a bookseller who led without a title, and gave the finest he had to give. I felt emotion welling up within me. So please remember, Blake, that this day, and every day until the last of your days, is nothing more than a platform for heroic possibility. The real question is whether you will have the courage to use this opportunity to shine your own special form of greatness into this uncertain world of business we now work in. And once you do, you'll enrich the lives of your teammates, your customers, and your loved ones. And you'll forge a human monument of passionate achievement that all those who will come after you will marvel at and be inspired by. Silence filled the space where we were standing. Tommy didn't move. Neither did Jet. I thought tears might begin to flow from his eyes. I wasn't sure what I should do. Then, in a dramatic instant, Tommy lifted up an arm and slapped Jet on his back.
Man, you're too intense. Snap out of it, my brother,
he laughed.
Jet began to giggle.
I know, I know.
Soon all three of us were laughing hilariously. It was a fantastic moment, one I'll never forget. But then something utterly unexpected happened. Tommy began to cough again. The attack began mildly, then quickly turned violent, with Tommy not only coughing up blood, but also beginning to shake terribly. I rushed over to him, as Jet did, and tried to assist him in any way I could.
It's my time, was all he could whisper. It's now my time.
The fourth leadership conversation of the Lead Without a Title philosophy. To be a great leader, first become a great person. The five rules. See clearly. Health is wealth. Inspiration matters. Neglect not your family. Elevate your lifestyle. Instant action step. In your journal, list five things you will do immediately to refuel your inner leader and take your mind, body, emotions, and spirit to their next level of excellence. Then schedule time to execute these five goals flawlessly during the next 7 days so you get the power of momentum working for you. Leadership quote to remember. If one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams and endeavors to live the life which he has imagined, he will meet with a success unexpected in common hours. Henry David Thoreau. Chapter 8. Conclusion. After the unforgettable day on which the Lead Without a Title philosophy was revealed to me, I never saw my mentor Tommy again. I fully expected to see him at the bookstore the following Monday morning, and I thought I'd work alongside him for many years to come as I integrated all the powerful leadership lessons I'd learned to create extraordinary results in all that I did. But my wish was not to be. The day after I met the four special teachers, I was devastated to learn that Tommy had died. He had been struggling with cancer, but was quiet about his illness. Anna said he just didn't want anyone to worry about him, and that he needed to live out his final days helping others and spreading the Lead Without a Title message that had transformed his own life years earlier. He hung on just long enough to give you that one day, Anna shared, consumed with deep emotion. That was his final gift to you. At the funeral, Anna, Ty, Jackson, and Jet each took turns giving testimony to the man Tommy was and all the good things that he did. I learned that he had grown up poor, that he'd been married to his childhood sweetheart for 44 years before she'd passed away a couple of years earlier. That he loved chocolate of every type, and that he had left all of his savings to a charity for children. So many people attended Tommy's funeral that hundreds of mourners had to stand out in the street. But they did, because everyone respected this simple bookseller who led without a title, and always gave his absolute best. Afterward, Anna, still sobbing, handed me a package. Ty, Jackson, and Jet stood next to her. They also had tears streaming down their faces, and showed through their expressions that they were heartbroken.
"Here, Blake, this is for you. Tommy asked me to give it to you. He really admired you a lot, you know. He deeply respected what you did for our country, as well as what you did for yourself, accepting his invitation to make your shift from victimhood into leadership over that day we all shared together. I think you were the son he never had, to be honest with you, Blake,"
she said, wiping away more tears and adjusting the beautiful flower she had placed in her hair.
"Anyway, please keep in touch with us. The boys and I are always here for you, whenever you need us. Any time of the day or any time of the night, you're one of us now. And though we've lost one friend, we definitely feel we've gained another."
She gave me a hug and began to walk away. Ty, Jackson, and Jet did the same.
"Oh, keep leading without a title, and spreading the philosophy you've discovered with everyone you meet. Each one of us alive today really can make a profound difference in every organization of any type, right across this amazing world of ours, if we accept the call on our lives to awaken the inner leader within us, then make everything we touch better than we found it,"
encouraged Anna.
"Hope to see you soon, Blake."
"We definitely will see you soon," the other three teachers spoke softly, in unison.
"And please remember," Jet added, "you were born awesome."
My four new friends then left the church. I found a place to sit and, listening to the strains of piped-in classical music, slowly opened the envelope. I then carefully read the letter inside. Sunlight poured through the stained glass windows, and the crisp air from outside gently washed through the room. The handwriting on the paper was messy, but I could read the words clearly, and I felt their power. Here's what they said.
"Dear Blake the Great, first, please forgive me for not sharing the details of my illness with you. I didn't want to let my personal condition get in the way of the gift of learning you so deserve to hear and the transformation you were so ready to receive. I grew to find a sense of peace in the face of my challenge, and came to understand that it carried many opportunities with it. Of course, no one likes to become sick, but through my condition, I grew stronger, deeper, and a whole lot wiser. And my hope is that some of all that good stuff I stepped into as a human being found its way over to you. Your parents were fine people, and they raised a fine young son. I know that now, and I honor you for all you gave in the past and all you'll do in the future. It has been a genuine joy for me to finally have met you in that bookstore of ours that wonderful morning. Sorry about the Mickey Mouse hanky. My wife gave it to me on the first anniversary of our marriage. We were at Disneyland. It always reminded me of her. The SpongeBob watch was my own purchase. My deepest hope is that rather than finding you filled with sadness because I'm gone, this letter reaches you full of inspiration, focus, and conviction for your newfound commitment to lead without a title. You are now beautifully prepared to completely unchain your inner leader and allow it to see the light of day. You are now perfectly ready to express your absolute best in each thing that you do during any challenge you meet. And you are undoubtedly in the ideal position to serve as an extraordinary example of possibility and excellence to every person fortunate enough to cross your path. I know you will. You promised me you would. And both I and your father placed a huge deal of importance in the lost art of promise-keeping. Business has lost its way, Blake, and to my old eyes, society has become a messy place to be. People value their things more than they value their relationships,
We seem to be more interested in stroking our egos than in the much richer pursuit of reaching our ideals. Too many among us blame outer forces for the resistance to mastery we show in our lives versus our inner fears and our weakest beliefs. And sadly, it's become more popular to be popular than to be ethical, brave, and good. What I'm suggesting is that we've forgotten the leadership responsibility that our culture once knew. We've neglected what it means to stand for something bigger than our lives. And we've misplaced our priorities by focusing solely on helping ourselves win, rather than passionately helping everyone around us win as well. I'm counting on you to remind people that they were born into genius, and that the lies that they've sold themselves about what they can't do and all they can't become are just not true. Many people will be helped as you share the leadership method that has been revealed to you. So many other human beings must discover the lead without a title philosophy, Blake. And the time for that to happen is definitely now. It has been a genuine honor having you in my life. I hope I've been helpful to you and fulfilled the pledge I made to your wonderful father so many years ago to assist you. I've always believed that if I made the life of even one other person a little better, then my life will have been a valuable exercise. Thank you for that opportunity. I wish you all that is great, my young friend. Dream boldly, live beautifully, and to your last breath, lead without a title. With much affection, Tommy. P.S. The Porsche is yours as of today. Go have some fun. In the package, I noticed a set of car keys. It immediately became clear what Tommy, in a final gesture of kindness and encouragement, had done. He'd given me his car and fulfilled one of my dreams. I was beyond moved. I don't think I'll ever be able to repay Tommy and the four teachers for all that they did for me. My career shifted into stunning success, and my life transformed into more than I ever could have prayed for in my most vivid of dreams. I still miss him, but I feel I've celebrated Tommy's life by sharing all that I've shared with you. I did keep the promise I made to Tommy the first day that we met, when I agreed to help him spread the extraordinary Lead Without a Title philosophy with as many other human beings as I possibly could. I wrote this book to codify its words and to offer you the same teachings that Tommy and the four special teachers so generously offered to me during our day together. I only request that you, in turn, tell as many people as possible about their powerful message. In so doing, you will do your part to inspire better teammates, build better organizations, and craft a better world. And you'll arrive at your end knowing you played full out with the natural leadership power you were born with and lifted up so many lives in the process, so that the last day of your life will be the best day of your life. Anthropologist Margaret Mead once observed, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." Such words of truth.
Hi, it's Robin Sharma again. I hope you've enjoyed the Leader Who Had No Title audiobook. You might be wondering how I came up with the Lead Without a Title concept, so I'll tell you a little bit about the background. I grew up in a small town of about 3,000 people. I come from very humble beginnings. I sure didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth or anything like that. I had the gift of two wonderful parents, a wise mother and a very wise father. And my father shared three things with me when I was growing up. He shared, number one, "Robin, always be dreaming. Always be pushing the envelope. Always be flexing your imagination." Makes me think of what Maya Angelou once said. She said, "If one is lucky, a solitary fantasy can transform 1,000,000 realities." Number two, my father said, "Robin, always be learning. Always be maintaining a curious mindset. Always be picking up ideas. And number three, my dad said, Robin, what's most important in many ways when it comes to leadership and life, find some cause or some mission that's actually bigger than your own life and give your life over to that cause. Well, to make a long story short, I became a lawyer. And I became a lawyer for many of the wrong reasons. I became a lawyer because the people around me said, if you become a lawyer, you'll be successful and you'll make a lot of money and you'll have a position and you'll have a lot of influence. Well, I think ultimately the definition of success is not about what the people around you say is success. It's about what you believe is to be success. So I was making a lot of money. I was driving the right car. I had a title. I had a beautiful office. The only problem was I was completely unhappy and completely unfulfilled. So I went through a period of time where I pulled back from the noise and I went up to 50,000 feet and looked down at my life. And I began to rethink the way that I was thinking, the way that I was behaving, the way that I was leading, the way that I was occurring in the world. I started to study elders, people who had lived great lives. I started to study great leaders. I started reading great autobiographies. And I started to make some slow but steady changes. And I put together a system that made a profound transformation in the way that I showed up in the world. And I wrote about that in a book called The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, which I self-published in the Kinko's coffee shop. My mother was my first editor. My father helped me sell that book one person at a time out of the back of my car. I often joke about this, but it's true. My first seminar, only 23 people showed up. 21 of those people were my own family members. But that book became a word-of-mouth phenomenon. And here's what happened. Organizations, especially businesses, started inviting me in to speak. I started speaking to sales teams and executive teams, basically helping them build better companies. I started shifting my focus more and more, though, to leadership. And as I went into more and more of these companies, whether it was Nike or General Electric or IBM or FedEx or Panasonic or Yale University, I started noting that ultimately the competitive advantage was leadership. And more importantly, I went into a lot of other organizations and I noticed a lot of people were playing victim. They were saying that they couldn't make a difference. They couldn't innovate. They couldn't wow customers. They couldn't drive positive change because they didn't have a title. And that was really the formation to this whole philosophy that you need no title to be a leader. Whether you work in the mailroom or the boardroom, you still have the power to lead every single day. You can still innovate. You can still wow customers. You can still drive change. You can still be the most positive person in every single room. And when you do, you not only lift up the organization and inspire everyone around you, but you actually step into your personal potential and live your leadership best. I'm often asked by clients or readers, what's one of the most important things they could do to lead without a title? And it makes me think of what Gandhi once said. He said, be the change you want to see in the world. So I believe the best way to influence the people around you, whether that's your team or your customers or even your family at home, is to lead by example. I guess what I'm saying is it's really important to live your message. And it's also important to mentor the people around you, regardless of your title. In terms of the people who have most influenced me, I think of my mother and my father. I think of the CEOs and the celebrity entrepreneurs that I've worked with as a leadership coach who have really formed my own thinking. I also think of my two children. Someone once said to me, Robin, children come to us more highly evolved to teach us the lessons we need to learn. And someone else once said, adults are nothing more than deteriorated children. And I must share with you, I learned so much from my children about leadership and what it really means to be authentic and to be excellent and to be passionate and have curiosity and to enjoy the whole process of life. And finally, you might be wondering, what action steps can you take after listening to the audiobook? Number one, share what you've learned immediately with at least three people. Those might be coworkers, they might be loved ones, they might be friends, but it's really important to remember that conversation deepens learning. Another way to put it is conversation will grow your commitment. And so if you talk to these three people as quickly as possible about the story itself, about the ideas that you've learned, about the lead without a title philosophy, that will not only help them, it'll help you really bring the ideas home. Number two, on one page, write down a game plan to execute the ideas from the leader who had no title. I believe that ideation without execution amounts to delusion. So it's really important not only to get that one pager down, but then to start taking some action. Which brings me to step number three. Within the next 12 hours, take some action to really move the lead without a title philosophy home, not only in your work life, but in your personal life as well. All that stands between you and your leadership best is a choice. so act on that idea and make that choice. I'll leave you with a thought. The smallest of actions is always better than the noblest of intentions. So I wish you a great life, great success, and most importantly, great leadership without a title.
The Leader Who Had No Title, A Modern Fable on Real Success in Business and in Life, was written by Robin Sharma and read by Holter Graham. Editing and post-production by Hudson Sound. The associate producer was Michael Noble. The Leader Who Had No Title was produced and directed by Karen Perlman. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. The Leader Who Had No Title is available in hardcover from Free Press.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.